Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast.
We are one church that meets in various locations across Greater Manchester.
For more information about who we are or where we meet,
please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
How do you live a good life? How do you live a successful life? A life with meaning, a life with purpose, perhaps the sort of life that when you get towards the end of it, you can look back and think, I lived well. That was a life well lived. And how do you even define that? How do you work out what is a successful life? And a friend of mine asked me that this week. He's a kind of a church planter, a bit like us. And he said to me, Tim, how do you define success? Of which I went quiet for a bit and we kind of kept talking. And then he went, Tim, how does your church define success? I'm like, all right, man, chill out. Where are we going? And even then, what is success to God? So what is, if we want to think about this, what is a successful human? And actually, even asking that question, there are all sorts of problems with asking this question, aren't there? So some humans have lots of resources available to them to help them succeed by the family that you might be born into, the geography of where you're born into, the point in history, whatever it might be. And other humans don't have those resources. Like recently, just this week, heard a story of a young person, a young teenager in Manchester who was stabbed, like brutally stabbed. And he survived. He was very lucky he survived. But then we heard more about this story. This kid had been in and out of care, very well known to the police, really involved in gangs and drug crime and all sorts of stuff like this. And I found myself wondering, what chance does that kid have of success in life? Like really, honestly, what are their chances of succeeding? And how do we even define what success would look like for them? Now, perhaps in the routine of life, we don't allow ourselves to ponder these things, because if you woke up every morning and thought, what is success? What will I have done before I'm dead? Perhaps that would be quite hard to live your life in that way constantly. But actually, I want us to ponder these things just this evening for a bit, just to ask ourselves, what is a successful life? What do I live for? Perhaps even, what is the meaning and purpose of my life? And we're just going to allow ourselves to settle into that existential question this evening, just to allow ourselves to relax. And it's important, actually, that we can just think some difficult thoughts and ask God, well, what do you think, Lord? And actually, Jesus has some pretty uncomfortable things to say about this as well, about where we find our meaning, where we find our purpose, even what brings life to us. And Jesus, as is his way, puts the question in its proper context. Jesus puts it in the context of all of creation, or the whole universe. He puts it in the context of all of history, like past, present, and future. He puts it into the context of eternity. And it's not a comfortable thing that Jesus says. So let's read what he says. Let's let Jesus speak for himself. And if you have your Bibles, you can go to John 15. And if you don't have a Bible, it's no worries. It should appear up behind me and Anoush will kindly click through at the right moments. And I'll read it out for you. John 15. We'll start at verse 1. And Jesus is speaking and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruits, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And he repeats himself, says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So Jesus, as he's speaking here, is kind of painting a picture. It's like a word picture. And sometimes Jesus tells parables, which are like little stories. And in this one, he's not really telling a story, but he's trying to describe a concept, paint a picture for us. And the picture of how a successful or fulfilling life happens. A life that is full of depth, meaning, and purpose. A life that has taken its place in eternity. And Jesus is trying to paint that picture in front of us. And he says three things as he's pushing us, as he's trying to help us think, what do you think a successful life is? He kind of says three things. He starts off saying, I am the vine. And then he says, you are the branches. And then God is the gardener. I am the vine, you are the branches, God, the Father, is the gardener. So let's think about these things a little bit. Let's help. Jesus will help us to understand what he's talking about, what this successful life is. And he says, I am the true vine, actually. And it's Jesus making a very big claim about himself, about who he is, about his purpose and meaning. And as he was saying this, there would have been a group of people around Jesus listening to him. And right then, him saying, I am the true vine, is actually a very powerful and potent statement for them. Israel, the place where Jesus was at that moment, the nation that Jesus was born into, where all of his disciples came from, Israel viewed itself as like a vine. It was one of the symbols that Israel used to describe itself. A number of years after Jesus, maybe about 30 years, there was an uprising in Israel and they were trying to overthrow the Romans, which didn't go well for them. But at some point, it was going well enough that they started printing coins. And on those coins was a vine. That was a picture of what Israel was. It was a symbol of them. So this is quite powerful language. And it would also, they heard Jesus say, I am the true vine, they would have known their Old Testament, so they would have probably been thinking, oh, he's quoting a psalm here. He's quoting from Psalm 80. And Psalm 80 actually is very useful for us. So let's read a few of those verses. Psalm 80 in verses 7, 8, and 9 it is a prayer. And the prayer says, restore us, God Almighty, make your face shine on us that we may be saved. And then it says, you transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. Okay, again, very kind of pictorial language, and it's describing in this prayer and this picture how God took Israel out of Egypt, famous story, led by Moses into the desert, took them all out of slavery, and then he replanted them in the promised land, which is the book of Joshua. So this psalm does kind of Genesis and Joshua and Exodus in one little prayer there. And it talks about how God blessed them, he nurtured them, he protected them. But the psalm doesn't stop there. The psalm keeps on going. And the people listening to Jesus would know this as well. It goes on to talk about how the vine actually was a bit damaged, how actually it got broken, how actually people came in and destroyed it and attacked it. So verse 14 of Psalm 80 says, return to us, God Almighty, look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine. So there's the picture there again. The roots your right hand has planted. God, you planted this vine. The sun you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down, it is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us. And in this psalm, that whoever's writing this psalm changes the picture as they go through. So they start with this picture of a vine, Israel being a vine, and then it kind of changes into a sun. Israel becomes a sun in this story. As you can do in poetry, they kind of change the metaphor. And they're trying to explain a relationship between God, his people, who are his children. That's what he's describing. So this Israel, as they're listening to Jesus, understand themselves. Yeah, we're like a vine and we're the children of God as well. All of these pictures and symbols are true for them. But what Jesus is doing as he says, I am the true vine, is he's taking Psalm 80 and saying, this is actually all about me. This is what this psalm is about. Now, Israel viewed itself as divine, and therefore it had become quite religious about that. So Israel interacted with God through priests, through a temple, through sacrifice. And Jesus is saying, oh, you don't need to do that anymore. I'm the true vine. You get to God through me. You interact with God through me. And as Jesus says this, as he makes this psalm all about him, he says, I am the true vine. He's asking them, what have you plugged into? What is the vine that you are attaching yourself to? What do we draw life from? What do you think is going to produce fruit in you? What's going to give you this successful life, this good life? What do you think about that? What is your vine? And that could be lots of things. So for the people listening to him in that moment, for them, it would have been actually the religious way of doing things that we have in Israel at that point. Those priests, that temple, the sacrifice, that gives me stability, fulfillment. That gives me my sense of purpose and meaning. And Jesus is saying, no, I am the true vine. And as we read this today, actually, we've got to ask the same question. We might not be thinking of priests and temples, but we may think of other things that have a similar place in our lives. We might think of our career. I'd say, actually, my career, that gives me all that I need. That gives me my stability. That gives me my fulfillment, my sense of purpose in life. That gives me my meaning. Or perhaps it can be our relationships. Say, actually, relationships, they give me that stability. In that relationship, I can feel loved. I can love back. That gives me my sense of meaning and purpose. Perhaps it can be money. All of the same things. Yet money is what gives me life. That is the vine I've attached myself to. If I've got money, I feel meaning and purpose. Or at least running after money gives me meaning and purpose. And it can be anything. It could be your social life. It could be children, whatever it might be. Humans are worshippers, so we are designed to worship something. So we have a vine. And Jesus is explaining, look, what is it? What is your vine? I am the true vine, but what is yours? He is saying where meaning, where purpose, where identity come from. He's explaining, look, this is where life comes from. It comes from me. So when Jesus describes himself as the true vine, he's saying, look, it's my intention to replace all of the vines that you have. All other vines are false. I am the true one. And it's a very big claim, actually. Think about it. It's a very big claim. It was a big claim then, and it's a very big claim now. He is saying, look, I am where all the purposes of God are worked out. I am where your meaning is, your purpose in life. I am where you get your energy from. I'm the life giver. In creation, in the whole of the universe, all of that is found in me. I am the true vine. And as he says it as a statement, but also as a question. So he's throwing it at them to ponder, to think about. He's saying, look, what vine are you on? Are you on me or are you on some other vine? Because I am the true vine. What vine are you on? And then Jesus goes on to kind of explain the image a little bit more. And he describes us as the branches. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So the branches, which are us, Jesus says, are attached to the true vine, which is Jesus, okay? Very pictorial language, quite poetic even, intending to describe a relationship between humans and their king and their Lord and Savior, Jesus. And in Jesus' language, he's saying, look, this vine brings life to its branches, not the other way around. Now, he's kind of stretching the image a little bit here to push us. When he says, look, the branch must remain in me. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about branches, which I don't do very often, don't spend a lot of time pondering what a branch feels about its place in the world. But if you were to consider a branch for a second, you wouldn't think, the branch's responsibility is to stay on the tree. We don't think about branches in those ways. I certainly don't. But Jesus here is trying to explain, look, he's trying to explain a continuous dependence to the vine, a constant reliance upon the vine, even a drawing of life from the vine to that branch. Now, that can work in all sorts of ways. So I know for me that if I regularly, and by regularly I mean daily, if I read my Bible and if I pray and if I fast every so often, then that for me is the activity of a branch, okay? Very, very simple stuff. But for me, that is being dependent on the vine, on Jesus. And I know that when I do that, it actually brings life to me. I have hundreds of stories, actually, of God's challenging me, encouraging me, reassuring me, pushing me in those times. And most of them are just between me and God that I'll never tell anybody about. Most of them aren't good enough to get into a sermon. They're just the kind of normal steps of life. But I know in those times I draw life from Jesus. He gives life to me. He is the vine and I am merely a branch. Even very recently, I've been reading through a particular book in the Bible, and there was one passage that I've read perhaps a million times. And he highlighted that passage to me and a particular understanding of it. And this was about a month, maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago. And it's been with me every single day since then. God speaking, shaping, changing some of my attitudes, actually provoking me on some hidden sin and kind of really not having a go at me, but using this passage to work over my heart continually. Actually, that is the branch drawing life from the vine. Now, it can work in lots of different ways. So just this week, a friend of mine, really actually pretty sick, in quite a lot of pain, and has been for months. And he and his wife actually are now getting pretty worried. Why is this happening? It's actually becoming quite debilitating. Actually, work is becoming an issue. And they've found themselves one particular evening getting into a bit of a panic about these things, which can happen when suddenly life does not go the way you thought it was going to go. And you can't see an end. Sometimes when you're in pain, you can't quite see how the pain is going to end, right? And they decided, okay, we need to call a friend. So they called a friend, another guy in the church, and he went round and they just prayed together. And the guy they invited round had lots of experience of going through very difficult things in life, has lots of faith, is a good person. And so as they prayed, he challenged them. He challenged them to have faith. There was community together. And actually, in that little evening, that was the branch being dependent on the vine. Okay, it was a community activity. Actually, it's the same thing, I think. And the question in this is, well, what do you attach yourself to? What actually are you dependent on? What is the thing that brings life for you? Or perhaps the thing that you look to bring life for you? And when Jesus painted this picture for us, it's not just about individual spirituality, although that is definitely important. It's not just about how humans find purpose, meaning, and peace. Actually, there is a much bigger picture in this about how God the Father is the gardener and how he brings fruit. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. So let's understand this a little bit. Now, vines are fruit-producing plants. That's what they are. That's all they're really there for. They don't look very nice. The flowers are tiny and they're not up to much unless they are growing fruits, and they grow, and they often grow really quite quickly, and they produce fruit, and when they do, they get cut back. So a number of years ago, I was able to visit Cape Town, and I visited a few vineyards in one particular day. We did a vineyard tour, so I got on a minibus, and a very nice South African man drove me to 5 different vineyards. It was a fantastic day. We tasted lots of wine, ate lots of food. At one of the vineyards, they had about 3,000 ducks just walk by, all at the same moment. One of the weirdest moments in my life, all of these ducks knew exactly where to go as well. It was really strange. Anyway, that's irrelevant. But I was in these vineyards, and in these vineyards, there were acres and acres of vines, like in their nice rows, all up the hillsides, beautiful sunshine of Cape Town, and all of them were shaped and cut back. All of them kind of almost looked identical from a distance and all ready to produce fruit. And if you don't cut them back, actually, it would be chaos, but they'd all been cut beautifully. Now, in one of the houses that me and Vic have owned in Birmingham, for some reason, we decided Birmingham was the right climate to plant a vine. So we planted some vines, we just kind of left them, and then they grew into chaos, and they knotted together, and there was not a chance they'd ever produce any fruit ever. And I would try cutting them back, but I don't know. What do I know about cutting back vines? Nothing. So it grew into chaos and very rapidly became overgrown. And actually, if you leave vines like that, they become diseased. They become basically a waste of space. They're a very practical plant. They are for fruit and not very much else. But they must be worked. They must be shaped and molded like the vines that I saw near Cape Town. So when Jesus says, look, I am the true vine, my Father is the gardener, he cuts every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be more fruitful. And Jesus knows what he's saying here. He's saying, look, the Father God produces fruit in you. And sometimes, Jesus is kind of saying, sometimes that process is uncomfortable. Sometimes it's cutting and pruning. Sometimes it's taking things out of your life. Sometimes it's taking things which you think are successful and then reducing them so that they can be more successful. And Jesus is saying, look, that pain equals produce. Now, this is a tough one to navigate, okay, as you just think about this. Now, if we think about my friend who's having a really difficult time at the moment, in lots of pain, it really is a very difficult moment, and we would be worried about him. So if I go round to his house tomorrow and say, oh, look, man, God's just cutting you back, he's just pruning you, aren't you blessed? It's going to be amazing. That's not what he wants to hear. I'm not suggesting that we should do that. That would be frustrating for him. He's in a painful moment. However, there is an element of truth to that. When we go through difficult times, God is at work. They are an opportunity for us to worship, an opportunity to trust him, an opportunity to draw life from the true vine, even to think, what is my true vine at this time? And that is when fruit begins to grow. And we're going to finish in a moment, and we're going to finish with a big old statement from Jesus, and then we're going to pray, and Isaac's going to help me pray. And this idea of being fruitful, Jesus says it quite a few times in this, but he is suitably vague. He doesn't say, look, you'll be fruitful in me, which means all Christians are going to be loaded, right? I've got it. You're going to be absolutely minted. All you need to do is just trust me. It's not what he says. And he doesn't say, look, if you trust me, every decision you make is going to be nailed on gold. You're going to get every promotion. You're going to do well in everything in life. He doesn't say that either. He does say, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It's quite a big old, just allow that to sit in the room for a moment. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I don't know if you'd say that, but wishes start popping into my head. I don't know if that's true for you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So as God, the gardener, begins to kind of cut back, perhaps maybe as you go through a difficult time, or perhaps just, you know, you need to trust God, or perhaps as you begin to draw life from the vine, you say, Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, I'll worship him, I'm not going to worship anything or anyone else, and you begin to draw life from him. Actually, in those times, we begin to change, perhaps like the vines around Cape Town, become molded into the image of Jesus. All get cut to a shape, perhaps as the Father begins to work on us slowly with the intention of producing high-quality fruits and fruit that happens year on year. And as we remain in God, Jesus says, and as my word remains in you, which really he's saying, look, as you devote yourself to me, as you listen to what I say, as you read what I say, you are changed. And as you change, actually, your prayers begin to change as well. You become more aligned with God as he begins to shape you. So you become more fruitful. And I think Jesus actually is spelling it out quite simply for us. He says, look, I want you to devote yourselves to me because I am devoted to you. I want you to devote yourselves to me to reading what I say, to dwelling on it, to trying applying it to your life and live in obedience to that. And at the same time, I want you to ask me for whatever you want. He doesn't say, look, ask me for sensible things and I'll think about it. He says, ask me for whatever you want. So he wants us two things. Devote yourselves, draw life from me, ask me for whatever you want. And he uses this to mold us, to shape us, to grow us. It's a very powerful statement.
Thanks for listening.
To explore this sermon or learn more about our church, please navigate to the links provided in this podcast description.
From there, you can connect with us on social media. And you're welcome to check out the music links featured in this episode from our very own musicians.
You can also discover current events and information about where we meet on Sundays and various groups or community projects that you can join in with.
If you're interested in knowing more about us or wish to join us for one of our meetings, please reach out.
Simply drop us an email at hello@ccm.org.uk.
We look forward to connecting with you.